fires up here, I am bound to trip over one of them. So I'm this morning, as we think about that, when you haven't heard from God. Before we get started, I need to just make one announcement too. I will be beginning tomorrow morning to go on vacation, much needed vacation for a week, and basically it's not really a vacation if you're going to see your parents and you end up working at their house. It's not really a vacation. But anyway, I'm going to be down there trying to do whatever they need me to do. Next Sunday, Mike Castle is going to be standing up in the pulpit, so I know you want to begin to pray and lift him up, that God will speak to him, give him the right message to share and everything. When you don't hear from God, I read this one time, I pour out my heart to the Lord in prayer, and all I get back is silence. I can say that this weekend I have not asked for the Lord and got silence, because my house has been in a whirlwind. If you've got grandkids, you know what I'm talking about. I'm looking forward to that silence tonight, and maybe then I could hear the Lord without any interruption from any of your little kids, especially when they are from this until the time they wake up, until the time they go to bed. You know, they will ask the same question over and over and over again. But have you ever felt in your own personal Christian life that you have poured your heart in the Lord in prayer and seemed to get back silence? When you said amen, what did the Lord say? Have you ever thought about that? Now, in conversation, we talk back and forth with one another, and by the time I can get through with something, or even before I get through with something, somebody else is sharing something, and we go back and forth, and we can do that, can't we? And we have communications. When we decide to get the family get-togethers, we communicate back and forth, and we know exactly what we're going to do on holidays, don't we? We have planned it all out. But what about God? Have we heard God speak to us? What is His plan for our lives? What is it He wants us to do? I heard people say, all that I am asking Jesus for is just a little response so that I can know for sure. Ever felt that way? You prayed and you listened. You read the scriptures, and in the Old Testament you hear where different ones God spoke to, an audible type. This is my voice. This is what I want you to tell the people. People in the Old Testament heard, but have we heard that today? Are people hearing, or do we hear God? Many folks ask me these questions. Is God trying to tell me something? Is something going on wrong on your life? And somebody looks, is God trying to tell me something on about this? What is it? How come when things are going great, we don't need to hear from God, but then when things happen, tragedies or something like that happens in our lives, then we wonder where God is? Well, God, why did you let this happen to me? And so we look at that. Do you think that this is God's work here? I don't know the answers to that, folks. Only God knows that. Sometimes we think that a response from God would be helpful in getting people to believe or comfort through a crisis. I shared with one of my best friends. I felt God leading me to him to share the gospel. I was excited driving over there. I knew that he was going to pray that sinner's prayer and invite Jesus Christ into his heart, because I felt God telling me I needed to do that. And I went, and I responded, and I went. And we sat down and we talked. And we went through the prayer, and we went through everything, the four spiritual laws we went through. And we got to the prayer, and he says, I can't do that. And I'm like, what do you mean you can't do that? He says, I just can't do that. I left that night driving back home thinking, well, God, you told me to do it. Why did you tell me to do it if you knew he wasn't going to do it? What was the purpose of that? I never found out the real purpose of that, but I know the outcome of that. When I decided that God wasn't answering my prayer and I gave up hope, God was working in Jimmy's heart. And when Jimmy was right with God, he came and he says, now is time. Folks, that was 3 months later. That wasn't that night. It was 3 months later. So sometimes we just think, God, if you would just give me a little shove, just give me a little nudge, give me a hint. Anybody forget your password and it says on there what your hint is? You know what my answer to that is? If I knew what the hint was, I'd know what the word was. Wouldn't you? Don't need the hint. I just need to know what the word is. Operator told me one day, she says, well, Mr. Denton, let me give you a hint. I said, listen, lady, if I knew what the answer to the hint was, I wouldn't be calling you now. You know? Isn't that what we want for God? God, give me a little hint. God, I can't hear from you today. I'm not sure what you're talking about. God would tell us, don't be afraid. I'm still in charge. As we look today, I want us to look and see, how do we do this? How do we understand this? All right, maybe you're single today and you have tried and to find favor in God. You're looking for the right spouse, the right person, and you waited and you prayed and you waited and you prayed. I understand that. I waited and prayed and I waited and prayed when I was at Bluefield College, when I felt God calling back into the ministry. And finally I said, God, if you're not going to hear my plead, if you're not going to hear what I'm asking you to do, I'm just asking you to give me a wife. Is that too much to ask for? And the answer was, no. Now is not the time. And finally, I came to this conclusion. And I prayed this prayer. I said, Father, I want to go on record to say simply this. I don't like it. I'm not in favor of it. But if you want me to be single, I will be single. Guess what happened? Once I gave it to God, He took care of it. For 33 years now, I've lived with the same mate that God gave once I said, if this is the way you want me to be. God is in it, folks. We may not understand it. Why did I go through it? All my friends were getting married and having children and everybody else, and here I was staying single all the time. Maybe you had some decision that needs to be made and you wanted to do the right one and not make the bad one. And so you're looking for God for answers, and God is just silent. He hasn't answered. You've narrowed it down to a few choices of things you need to do, and you want to make sure it is the right choice. And you ask God, which one? And yet God is still silent. Maybe you begin to wonder if God is in work at your life at all. Ever felt that way? I have. Even in the ministry, I felt like times, is God really working in my life? Facebook has been a good answer for that. Not too long ago, I got a Facebook request from this young lady. She was a scrawny, skinny, loudmouth teenager in my youth group. Gave me a fit all the time, requesting to be my friend. We've been chatting back and forth, and she told me, she says, you know, I never told you when you were the youth minister here how much I appreciated. She says, but I appreciated what you have done. And you know, that was God working in her to share to me that everything that you do is not in vain, but there are good things that happen. And so we see basically there are two questions here this morning. What is God up to by not answering us when we so desperately want Him to answer? And what are we to do about it? What do we do? What do we do? As we look at this story, we see that Joseph, being the favorite son of Jacob, we see the word Israel, that was his name that was given to him by God. He had a son born later in years, and it became his favorite son. And many of you remember Joseph as the coat of many colors, remember? And he made this beautiful coat, and the other boys were beginning to get angry at him, and they were saying the jealous and looks, and he loves him better than he does all the rest of us. Any of you ever felt that way? Ever felt left out? Any middle kids? Yep, got a few middle. Those are the hardest, aren't they? And you see, he was the youngest. What does that tell you? He's spoiled anyway, right? Exactly. So we see that he had brothers that couldn't even stand to be around him. And then he come up and he began in the later verses there, he begins to tell them about this dream where the whole family is going to bow down and worship him. Now, how do you think they felt then? very angered. And so we see that as his brothers couldn't speak to him, they even began to hate him more because of this story about this dream. And they saw in verses 12 through 17 an opportunity to get rid of him. And as he was coming down the road, they were thinking, how can we get rid of him? What can we do? And as we see the story unfolds, we see that Reuben tries to calm them down and says, hey, folks, we don't need to do that. And they put him in a pit. And along came this caravan, and they said, hey, you know, we could actually sell him for some money, put that money in our pockets, put a little blood on the coat, and take it back to our father and said he was killed by a wild beast. Pretty good story, wasn't it? You think they got by with it? Evidently they did, because they believed he was dead. And so we see that as they came along, Joseph was sold into slavery. He was taken down to Egypt. There was no assurance. Joseph was listening to what God had to say. He was sharing that dream that God had given him. And this is what he gets for it. I get thrown in jail. I get sold as a slave. I'm thrown in prison. I'm a slave. It didn't make sense, did it? I'm following you, God, and this is what I get? You're going to let me get thrown in jail? It wasn't fair. It's just not fair, is it? That here I am doing what God called me to do, and it seems like I'm not making any headway, and everybody else is doing fine. What's the deal, God? Joseph had no assurance, but still God didn't intervene. God didn't come down and pat him on the shoulder and say, now, Joseph, I've got a purpose for you, and you just need to hang in there. Just take care of yourself, because I got something big for you to do. God didn't say that, folks, and God's not going to tell us that either. God is going to work in us, through the good and through the bad. Paul got thrown in jail for preaching the Word of God. He loved God so much, he was willing to take a beating for him. Was that what he bargained for? No. But that is what God used. So to get down to Egypt, he gets bought by Potiphar. And it begins to look like it was getting better. Here he became a servant there, he worked in the house, and all of a sudden he's promoted, and he becomes the manager of the household. And Potiphar is really pleased with him, and then all of a sudden, here comes Mrs. Robertson, Miss Potiphar. You know, she looks and she says, ah, look at this young boy. I've not been happy in a long time, and I think he can make me happy. And she throws herself at him. And she tries to have a relationship with him. And there again, Joseph decides, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm not going to do that. That is wrong. That is not what God wants me to do, and I'm not going to do it. So what happens? He gets thrown in jail again. God, what are you doing here? This doesn't make sense. I'm living the way you want me to live. I'm doing what you want me to do. I'm trying to live a righteous life, and you keep throwing me in jail. That's not right. And God is silent. And Joseph is in prison. And once again in prison, he began to think about it. He had no rights. He could think about it, but he had no trial. He had no right of appeal. He was just sitting in jail in a foreign country. Would your faith still be strong? Would it? Was Daniel's faith strong when he was thrown in jail? Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, was their faith still strong? Even when they were being thrown into the fiery furnace, they still had faith in God. What about us today? Would we have faith in God if those types of things were happening to us? He was obedient to his faith, yet he received no blessings. God was silent. But even in prison, he got a promotion, and a glimmer of hope began to work. And then again, once again, the warden didn't see any use of him, and he put him back down and demoted him. And Joseph suffered again for doing right. But finally, Pharaoh has a dream. Nobody can interpret this dream. And one of the persons that was in jail with him says, ah, but there's a guy in prison. He can interpret dreams. Pharaoh, he could probably do it for you. Now, could you imagine? What kind of a promotion am I getting out of this? I've got it made. I'm in prison, and he wants my advice. I'm going to make the best out of this, right? I'm going to make it worth everything that I suffered for. He is going to pay me, and he is going to pay me well, right? Isn't that the way we mostly think? What's in it for me? Isn't that the way our world thinks? If I can't do something because it's not going to benefit me, then I don't need to do it. But here we see Joseph goes, and instead of having a chance to throw back in Pharaoh's face about all the suffering and all of this, he goes in and he shares what these dreams mean. And after 13 years of misery, he became the second in command of Egypt. The second in command of Egypt. Pharaoh Joseph. But who would have thought a little boy thrown in a den down here in this pit, sold into slavery, and had been thrown in and out of jail, would ever become second in command of Egypt, the strongest country in the world? Who would have thought that? Who would have thought that, folks? Is it impossible? Nothing is impossible with God. We see the application. Joseph had no way of knowing all along the way that God was setting a stage for a key move in his plan to bring salvation. Joseph set the stage for Moses to come along 400 years later to do what? Let God's people go. Joseph set that setting. It would be the nation Egypt that God would prove to the whole world his power and might by delivering the Israelites. I mean, face it, the Egyptians had fought battles, they had had chariots, they had all kinds of weapons, they were the top of the country, you know, they could outwin everybody, they were on top of the world. But they found out that they couldn't do battle against God. They found out that the little things that Moses did, the plagues, as we call them, were little things, were big because the Egyptians couldn't do anything about it, could they? Not a thing. They tried, but they couldn't do it. And so we see that if anything is clear in history, it is that God's silence is no way an indication of God's activity or involvement in our lives. Just because he doesn't speak to us every day doesn't mean he's not involved in our lives. He is there. Sometimes he is silent. He may appear silent, but he is not. He is involved. He is active in our lives. Very active. The problem that we have today is we don't realize how active God is because we don't have the faith of Joseph, of Moses, or Paul, or some of the others. Even Jesus set that example of faith. He believed in God. He had the power to sit there and say, I'm not going to suffer. I'm going to change this whole concept. And instead of me suffering, what I'm going to do, and I'm just going to make everybody worship me. Jesus had that power, didn't he? But he chose to trust and have faith in God. So how does this apply to us? As long as things are great, we believe that he is watching over us, protecting us, and providing for us. But when trial comes, we think, Lord, where are you? Why don't you do something about this? Why don't you answer me? Give me a sign or something, Lord. God's involvement in our life is measured by two things. First of all, the development of his character in our lives, what he's doing, how much we trust in him, and the fulfillment of his plans. We don't know what God has in store for us. We don't. And I can tell you this right now. There is no person in this room that is too old that God can't use. He can use every one of us in some form or fashion that he is calling us in his plan. But we have to discover, for Joseph, it was through each trial that God was working his plan. God is working with us the same way. God will use problems and trials in our lives to work his plan. What are we to do? Trust him. Trust him. That's all God wants us to do. Trust him. But guess what? Those two little words are so difficult, isn't it? We don't hardly trust each other, do we? We get mad and say, I'll forgive you, but I'll never forget what you do, and we'll never trust that person again, will we? But God says, trust me. God has never given us a reason not to trust Him, as others on this earth have done. But God has never. When we try to take things into our own hands, we violate God's commands and we jump from the frying pan into the fire. Look at Jonah. He thought, you know, I can run. I can get in the ship. I can get in the very deepest part of that ship. And I can hide there and I can go out to sea and God will never find me. Guess what, folks? He wasn't deep enough, far enough, was he? There is no place you can hide from God. Nowhere. You can't change your identity. I mean, you may outsmart the government or somebody like that, but you can't outdo God. He knows where we are all the time. When you never see anyone turn their back on God's plan and you stay true to Him, you come out as a winner. God is at work in the toughest trials, building character as He works His plan. Are you a Christian today? God's plan for you is that you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's the beginning point. Trust in Him. Accepting Jesus Christ. Very simple thing to do. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will come in and open the door and let me in, I will sit with him. I will sup with him. I will have dinner with him, and I will never leave you again." Folks, God is here. He is with us each and every day, every hour. When you're sleeping, when you're awake, when you're at work, when you're at play, whatever you're doing, God is always with you. You may think you put Him up on a shelf over here in the closet and you shut the door and you locked your house up and He can't get out. But God is with us everywhere we go. Everywhere. No exception whatsoever. Are you a Christian today? God's plan is not only for you to accept Christ. He is not willing that any should perish, that everyone would come to a repentance. To come. And just because we're a Christian, just because we've been saved, doesn't mean we don't need to go to God in prayer. We don't think that we need to say, "Okay, God, forgive me for my sins," and never ask again. He wants us to always confess our sins, doesn't He? Always. Always. Confess. Perhaps God has allowed certain circumstances to come into your life to bring you to the place where you will accept Him. Will you trust Him? Will you say, "God, I don't understand what's going on. I don't know where You're going with this, but I trust You. I trust You." I raised two boys, and now I've got the grandbabies. And I'm always finding that I have to look at them and say, "Trust me." Ben was teaching them to jump from the truck into his arms. And they didn't want to do it. And he said, "Trust me." And I got to thinking about that. You know, that little child had to have a real lot of faith that their daddy was going to catch them and not drop them. And I think that's the way it is with God. We have to have a whole lot of faith in God to know that He's going to take care of us. He's not going to let anything happen to us. All He asked us to do is trust Him. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for this day, and we thank You for this opportunity to see Your Word and to study Your Word. We thank You for the music that You've had today. And now as we come to the close of this service, Father, may it have been good. May we have worshipped You. May You be pleased with our tithes and offerings of worship. Father, let us leave here excited. Let us leave here filled with the Spirit and to know that we have had communion with You because we took communion. We also know that we have been reminded of what You did for us, Jesus, that You died for us. And all You asked us to do is trust You. May we trust in You this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.